Today I'm going to pick up with the subject that we started with last week, John's Gospel, chapter 15, and let me encourage you to turn to it, because I think of these sessions as opportunities to really learn the Word, become acquainted with it, and get to know it. Because the Word is the essence of everything for our Christian life and living. The Lord Jesus said to Satan, who tempted him, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So the Word of God is essential. And if we don't have that, there is really no virtue in being here. We eviscerate. We take the Word away, we eviscerate the whole purpose of our being together here. And I would not be interested in being here. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And we were working in the first 10 verses. The Lord Jesus speaking, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, there are a number of critical pieces there, and I can see that we will have to spend more time than we first thought in going through this. By the way, this is one of the I ams that the Lord Jesus speaks in chapter 6, and they are all in the Gospel of John. Did you ever notice that? They're not anywhere else. All in the Gospel of John, the I ams. In chapter 6, he says, "I am the bread." In chapter 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd." I should say, I skipped one. In chapter 8, he says, "I am the light of the world." Repeated also in chapter 9. In chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd." In chapter 15, "I am the true vine." We can remark more on that sometime. That's an incidental. No extra charge for that one. I am the true vine. And last week we pointed out that he says true vine because there was another vine that was not true. It was false. And then he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Now I want to spend a little time on that verse. Because there's something that appears contradictory there, but I believe that it is easily harmonized when we look at all of the scriptures that relate to this. You will remember, or keep in mind, that from chapter 13 through chapter 17, we have the record of the Lord's time, his discourse with his disciples. When? Where? Come on, tell me.
On the mount.
I'm sorry?
On the mount.
No, it's not on the mount. This is the Last Supper. From chapter 13 to chapter 17 of John's Gospel. Now, only John gives us such a long report of what happened then. And he gives these large quotations. He isn't saying that this is a paraphrase. This is what the Lord Jesus said, something like this, but it's in quotations. You have half the 13th chapter. You have the 14th chapter, with the exception of one interruption. The 15th chapter, entirely. The 16th chapter, with one interruption, two. And then, of course, the 17th chapter, where there is no interruption, because there he is speaking to the Father. And the disciples get to eavesdrop on a conversation between the Son and the Father, or the Son's remarks to the Father. It's wonderful. The Word of God, study it. Don't just read it here and there and haphazardly, but systematically study it so that you can bring the parts together and it lifts your soul. It really does. Again, now, back to chapter 15. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the vine dresser, who is the Father, he takes it away. He takes it away. Some translations say he cuts off. Now, what is the problem? It says, in me. And that, of course, is a matter of difficulty for some. But let me remind everyone that even someone who is in the midst of this conversation, who is thought to be in him, is not. Who is that?
Judas.
He says in chapter 13, you are clean, but not every one of you. And we have the editorial of the Spirit that he said that because He knew who was going to betray him. And that was Judas. But Judas was deemed to be in him as much as all the other disciples. And we know also that there are many who attach themselves to church activity and who take upon themselves the name Christian. I am a Christian. They don't know what a Christian is because they have not entered into the life of God. Because, as we want to emphasize, that being a Christian is not taking a philosophical position on anything. Being a Christian, you don't become a Christian by finding a set of beliefs that this group promulgates and saying, well, this is what I'm going to believe, and that would make me a Christian. That does not make you a Christian. Being a Christian, to become a Christian, one becomes a Christian by having the life of God imparted to him. Don't forget that. If you don't have that life dwelling in you, you are not a Christian. And anyone who has the life of God in him knows it. There's no question about it. He isn't guessing about it. He doesn't say, maybe so. Probably so, or I hope so. If you have the life of God in you, you can't miss it. Yeah, you shout from the mountains because you've got life that you never knew before dwelling in you. So this verse has reference to two conditions: the branch that does not bear fruit and the branch that bears fruit. And they are both said to be in him. They, which then we can refer you to a number of other passages of scripture, including the parable of the sower that the Lord gives in Matthew 13 and Mark 4, where you have those that heard and who believed and seemed to be alive, but it turns out that they were dead. They never did really have life. Perhaps we should just read some of that, because some may not be familiar with it, and I don't want to just have you walk out with a kind of nebulous grasp of this. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, the Lord tells the parable of the sower. And if you begin at verse 4, it says, as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Well, they weren't going to produce anything. They never got to germinate. Verse 5, others fell upon rocky places where they did not have soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. So, it has been my experience to speak to people who respond very positively to the gospel, seem very interested. But in a short time, that interest just dissipates. And they really are not interested in going on with it at all. But they're said to have germinated and sprang up, actually. And there are people who appear to be a part of the Christian, a genuine part of the Christian community for a time, but then there, because there's no depth of earth, they die. And then, because when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Now that doesn't happen to the person who really has life. Verse 7, others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And then you have verse 8, others that fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So those who really are alive will produce fruit to different degrees, but they will all produce fruit. So those that fall on good ground will always produce fruit. That is the principle that is set forth in Scripture. And the Lord says, you will know them by their fruit. So if you have someone who is in the Christian community who is bearing no fruit, I would say that there is no basis to think that that person is a true believer, because every true believer bears fruit. You may bear 30-fold, you may bear 100-fold, you may bear 60-fold, but you will bear some fruit. And if you're bearing no fruit at all, I think that the position of Scripture is that you don't have any life. Everybody with the life of God bears fruit. It is impossible for the life of God to dwell in you and you're not bear fruit. Now we're going to talk about the fruit and what that is and how we produce fruit. But I wanted to take the time to address that apparent difficulty. And I've got to say that I did go and to read a number of teachers to see if there was anyone who agreed with my view. I thought there would be, but I thought, let me check again. And I found a couple of very reputable persons, very reputable sources. One was the believers, the scholars that write the commentaries for Believers Study Bible, and I was pleased to have them in agreement with me. And John Darby, a teacher of extraordinary reputation and esteem by the whole community of believers, also says what I just said to you. Okay, so I wanted you to get that. Now, it's important, of course, to understand that you have a case of the true and the false here. We spent a lot of time talking about that some weeks ago, and that is always the case. That is always the case. That is the way the enemy infiltrates the church, so as to water down its testimony, or to tarnish that testimony. Well, you have those among you who behave this way and who go to church, but there's nothing else in their lives. We know them well. They're our neighbors. There's nothing else in their lives that says that they are Christians. They go to church. So That is the enemy's motif. He infiltrates for the purpose of undermining the testimony. And when the church fails to maintain proper discipline, according to the Word of God, that testimony continues to get a bad name. It goes down because you have those who represent you who really are not representing Christ. So, John's Gospel, chapter 15, we're back to that. Every branch that does not bear fruit is cut off. That's the vine branch. He cuts it off. And then when you go down to verse 6, I believe it is, it says, of such persons, anyone who does not abide in me can't bear fruit if he's not abiding in him. He is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned up. That is not a Christian. That is not a believer. Nowhere in Scripture is a parable ever presented with the result that the believer is burned up. And so we want to keep in mind that there's always the true and the false. The Lord Jesus spoke about this. His apostles taught about this. Paul, Jude, Peter, they all spoke extensively or speak extensively about the danger, the liability of the false professor. Now, the false professor may really not think that he's false because he is doing it deliberately, but he has not imbibed the life that the Spirit gives. And so he doesn't know that he's not. He thinks he is, because he thinks that being a Christian is to say the things are true that Christians believe, and being associated with them, go to church, I even take the communion. Now that doesn't make you a Christian. So what we're talking about, and what the Lord is talking about in this chapter, is he's talking about the fact that anyone who claims to be a Christian must have life flowing from himself. And if the person does not have life flowing from Christ, then he is a false professor, whether he's aware of it or not. And there are some who are conscious that they don't really subscribe to their Christianity, and they are deliberate about wanting to undermine. They are few and far between, I think. Those who are not often think they are. So we are just saying what the Lord has said. If you abide in him, you have life flowing from him. And I think we're going to pause here. There's a lot that we need to say about these verses. And I the next time we're here, we will go through each verse and point out the particulars that the Lord says in them. But I beg your indulgence and forgive me for having to stop at this very inconvenient place. But the time says we should stop. Let's commend ourselves to the Lord. Our Father in God, we thank you for your way of imparting life so that it's unmistakable by those who have it. We thank you for everyone here who knows that they have life. And we pray that if there is anyone in our midst who does not know it, that that person will be arrested by the Spirit of God and instructed by him so that hereafter he will know that he also belongs to Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are that true vine, faithful. And we thank you for every branch that is truly in you. Amen.